lights on as well. Good morning.
Good morning.
I see so many familiar faces and some new ones. And here I thought Episcopalians were the ones who sat at the back of the church. Yes, I guess it's everywhere. Well, I appreciate the opportunity to be here this morning. It's a pleasure to see you all and see old friends and new. And I hope that we'll make this a good morning for you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit, that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Thank you.
God, through suffering and rejection, you bring forth our salvation, and by the glory of the cross, you transform our lives. Grant that for the sake of the gospel, we may turn from the lure of evil, take up our cross, and follow your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
God speaks to us in scripture, reading, preaching, and song. The first reading is from the 50th chapter of Isaiah. The Lord God has given me the tongue of a teacher, that I may know how to sustain the weary with a word. Morning by morning he wakens my ear, to listen as those who were taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I did not turn backward. I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who pulled out the beard. I did not hide my face from insult and spit. The Lord God helps me, and therefore I have not been disgraced. Therefore I have set my face like flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up together. Who are my adversaries? Let them confront me. It is the Lord God who helps me, who will declare me guilty. Who will declare me guilty? Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God. Let us read Psalms 116 responsibly. I love the Lord who has heard my voice and listened to my supplication.
For the Lord has given ear to me.
Cords of death entangled me, and anguish of the grave came upon me. I came to grief and sorrow.
Then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I pray you save my life.
Gracious is the Lord, and righteous our God, is full of compassion.
The Lord watches over the innocent. I was brought low, and then God saved me.
Turn again to your rest, O my soul. For the Lord has dealt well with you. For you have rescued my life from death,
my eyes from tears,
and my feet from stumbling. I will walk in the presence of the Lord in the land of the living. And the second reading is from the third chapter of Kings. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers and sisters, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For all of us make many mistakes. Anyone who makes no mistakes in speaking is perfect, able to keep the whole body in check with a bridle. If we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we guide their whole bodies. Or look at ships, though they are so large that it takes strong winds to drive them, yet they are guided by a very small rudder whenever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great exploits. How great a forest is set ablaze by a small fire, and the tongue is a fire. The tongue is placed among our members as a world of iniquity. It stains the whole body, sets on fire the cycle of nature, and is itself set on fire by hell. For every species of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creatures can be tamed and has been tamed by the human species. But no one can tame the tongue, a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless the Lord and Father, and with it we curse those who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this ought not to be so. Does a spring forth come from the same opening, both fresh and brackish water? Can a fig tree, my brother and sisters, yield olives or a grapevine figs? No more can salt water yield fresh. Word of God, word of life. Thanks
be to God.
To the villages of Caesarea Philippi. And on the way, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they answered him, "John the Baptist, and others, Elijah, and still others, one of the prophets." He asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered him, "You are the Messiah." And he sternly ordered them not to tell anyone about him. Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering, be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said all this quite openly. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." He called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, some of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes to the glory of his Father with the holy angels." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Can you hear me okay? If I wander, just wave. I should take a minute. I see a lot of familiar faces, as I said, but I don't know everyone. So in case you don't know me, I'm Karen Walker. Lived in Buffalo for a long time. I am at St. Luke's Episcopal Church, and it's just such a pleasure to be able to be here as well. The title of my sermon today is Turning Point. A turning point is a time when a specific, decisive change takes place. It can have to do with history, with science, or with individuals. It can be small or large, specific to one person or involving many people. It can be positive or negative, intentional or not. It can be something huge, such as a world war. Or it can be something much smaller, such as a job change. It can be something personal, such as the welcoming of a new baby into the family. Or it can be something that affects many people, such as a change in government. Turning points may be imposed on us, or they may be a choice that we make for ourselves. Whatever it might be, a turning point changes things. Today's gospel reading from Mark describes a major turning point in the lives of Jesus and of his disciples. It is as though Mark's gospel is divided into two parts. The first part explains how Jesus' ministry took place in and around the Sea of Galilee and in the area known as the wilderness. During this time, he healed the sick, drove out demons, turned water into wine, fed the hungry, and performed many other miracles. He also gathered together a close group of friends who came to be known as his disciples. This group of disciples traveled around with him, helped him with the crowds which he attracted, and most importantly, learned from him. Large crowds of people were drawn to him because of the miracles that he performed, but also because he taught them, often through the use of parables. He taught about the importance of the love of God and of the importance of loving and caring for one another. The second half of Mark's gospel takes place further north, in the area known at the time as Caesarea Philippi. This area was a place where more Gentiles lived, and is here where we see the important turning point. It's a literal turning point, as Jesus and the disciples will soon be heading again south on their way to Jerusalem. But we also see another kind of turning point, a change in the way the disciples understand who Jesus is and what is to come. While they were traveling north, Jesus asked his disciples a question. Who do people say I am? They answer, saying that some believe that he is the reincarnation of John the Baptist. Some think that he is Elijah or one of the other prophets. All see him as a great man. Then he turns to his disciples and asks them, who do you think I am? Peter answers him, you are the Messiah. Instead of nodding his head and smiling approvingly, as might have been expected, Jesus sternly orders them not to tell anyone about him. Perhaps it's because there's still so much that they do not understand. Throughout their travels, there were many times when the disciples were puzzled and unsure and did not know what to think about what Jesus was saying and doing. Times when they just didn't get it. This was one of those times. Instead of using his previous success to continue on, Jesus now tells the disciples that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering, be rejected by the elders, priests, and scribes, be killed, and after 3 days, rise again. Of course, that was very frightening, unexpected, a very hard pill to follow. And Peter begins to rebuke Jesus. Jesus, in turn, refers to Peter as Satan and tells him to stand aside, saying that he does not understand, that he's thinking in human terms and not in divine terms. This is the turning point. After speaking to Peter, Jesus then turns to the crowd which has been following him and tells them that if they want to be his followers, they must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. That those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and the sake of the gospel will save it. He further says that there is no profit in gaining the whole world if they are forfeiting their lives, and that the stand they take in times of trial will determine how they are seen when the Son of Man comes in the glory of his Father. Things are changing. Jesus is now explaining what the future will hold, and he's teaching his disciples and his followers what they need to know in order to continue his work. Many experts and scholars have referred to this section of today's reading as a lesson in discipleship. However, though it is short and to the point, it is not an easy lesson. When Jesus spoke to the disciples and the crowd of followers, he seemed to be speaking clearly about what was to come and what was to be expected from those who wished to follow him. But it may not have been what they thought they would hear, or what they wanted to hear. Peter used the word Messiah to describe Jesus. Messiah means anointed one. And for many people, That word conjured a picture of the long-awaited, strong, military-style leader who would drive out the oppressors, restore power to Israel, and bring about a new era. But that does not seem to be the case here. Instead, Jesus was talking about something else, another kind of power, the power of love. So, knowing all of that, and if we assume that, as scholars say, these Bible verses are truly a lesson in discipleship, what can we take from the lesson? How are we doing with these seemingly simple instructions? Denying ourselves, taking up our cross, and following Jesus. Nothing to it. We have had the benefit of 2,000 years to put these instructions to use. And yet, our culture today gets in our way. We tend to place great value on self-preservation and on self-fulfillment and on things and not so much on self-denial. However, from what I read as I was putting this sermon together, I learned that many scholars feel that the concept of self-denial does not mean that we need to give up all of our things or all of our activities or all of our opportunities. Instead, it means that we need to change the way we look at the world. We need to change our focus. It's more of a redefining of our approach to life. It means not just living for ourselves, but living as someone who is other-centered, someone who shows love and caring to others. Likewise, taking up your cross doesn't necessarily mean that we need to shoulder more burdens in our lives. It means that we need to move forward to truly and always trusting in God. We need to let go of our own will and let God guide us. Simple, huh? Well, of course it isn't. Making changes in our usual way of doing things can be very difficult. We struggle with it all the time. Maybe it's time right now for us to take a little self-inventory and think about making a turn in our own lives. Maybe this is the time for a turning point. Maybe it's time to look closely at those lessons in discipleship and see where we can make changes. Seeing our relationships with others and with God in new ways takes some effort. But if we decide to make a change, to come to a turning point, it will be well worth it in the end. Amen. us say together the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Are there names to be brought before us for prayer?
Brent.
Made children and heirs of God's promise, we pray for the church, the world, and all in need. Revealing God, you have made yourself known through bread and wine, water and word. Continue to nurture your church, that it is a place where your presence is experienced and shared. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Creating God, you brought life into being and called it good. Bring new creation to lands devastated by tornadoes, hurricanes, floods, fires, and other disasters. Restore forests and curb overflowing waters. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Protecting God, you desire all people to live in peace and safety. Provide for all who are in danger. Strengthen first responders to help meet the complex needs of others. Provide care and compassion as they face trauma themselves. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Transforming God, you announce release to the captives and freedom to the oppressed. Break chains of discrimination and injustice. Amplify voices that go unheard, and inspire us to advocate for those who are overlooked. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Forming God, you gather this community together. Shape our communal life. Then in our prayer, praise, and worship, we honor you and encourage one another. Keep our disagreements civil and increase our joy in working together. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Redeeming God, you accompany your people through every stage of life. We give you thanks for the saints who now rest in your embrace. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Receive these prayers, O God, and those in our hearts known only to you, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Is it your custom to pass the peace? Pass the peace. Thank you for your offerings to the church, however you choose to give them. Now, do we say this next together?
We'll sing it.
Oh, all right.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Holy God, gracious and merciful, you bring forth food from the earth and nourish your whole creation. Turn our hearts toward those who hunger in any way, that all may know your care, and prepare us now to feast on the bread of life, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Let's say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Go in peace.
share the good news.
Thanks be to God.